few scriptural passages this morning, but we'll turn to one and then I'll make reference throughout it to the other. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, or actually verse 11 through to 13. Very short reading. Let's hear God's word together. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Let's take an opportunity to pray together. Lord, in these moments, we pray that you would speak to us through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I wonder how many of us are tempted to look at the hole and not the donut. Yet the donut seems so attractive. There's so much to be thankful for. People have made preparation. They have decided what they want to put in the donut. And they have done it in order that you may be attracted to it and to enjoy it. How disappointed they would be if they saw you staring at the hole and not the donut. They would consider it a waste of their time and a waste of your opportunity. Harvest reminds us not to look at the hole, not to stare into the abyss, the emptiness, but to look at what has been given. Not to lament what we don't have, but to be grateful to God for what we do have. It reminds us of God's faithfulness, that he remained true to his covenant, that he would love us, that he would care for us, that he would send his son to die for us. That simple message changed people's lives. Religion has made it complicated. But the truth is that born on that Pentecost day, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon a people, they were changed forever. One of those was Paul himself. I'll read to you what he writes. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. And how faithful God has been. And in this little portion, he reminds us of forgiveness that's due to the faithfulness of God. Look at what verse 13 says. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful. Don't you love friends like that? That in spite of sometimes our lack of fidelity even to them, they have remained faithful to us. Traveling through life, many people are tempted to look at the hole and not the donut. I'm sure that as you have reached various stages in your life, your friendship groups may have changed. Some remain consistent, some have the blessing and luxury of that, but for many of us, that's not the case. You go through primary school and secondary education, you go into the workplace, you maybe have to change locations. And the reality is that our friends often change as time changes. Most of us are aware of the fact that when things change in our lives, often we can count on one hand those that have remained faithful. Those that are true and trusted friends, that have been with us through good times and difficult times. And as the difficult times have come, the trials have hit, perhaps financial hardship, perhaps domestic changes, maybe even sickness, maybe having to cross the globe and live somewhere else, that a few people have always been there, trusted and reliable. You've got a choice to make at times like that. You look at the hole or you look at the donut. You look at who's missing or you look at who's there. You look at what you don't have or you willfully choose to look at what you do. You will not be nourished by looking at the hole, but you will be fed by eating the donut. You can stir into the abyss, or you can stir into the blackness, or you can stir into the emptiness, but it will do nothing for you. But here's the challenge that God gives you. I have always been there. Even when you were faithless. I have been there from you from the very beginning. You were in my heart from eternity. And why does Paul say, when we have been faithless, he has been faithful? Because we have a catalog of histories in the Bible of people's faithlessness. God created Adam and Eve. They sinned. They got put out of the Garden of Eden. God gave them another chance. He told them, listen, I can still forgive you. Did they listen? No. They built a Tower of Babel. They felt that in some way they were even equal to God. They wanted to exist without him, so they built a tower. God was disappointed that they wouldn't take him up on his offer of grace and forgiveness. And in opposition to God, they tried to live a life without him. And so he sent them to the four winds of the earth. They were scattered in multiple languages and could not communicate with each other in the hope that they would communicate with him. But they refused to do it. They still constructed their own idols Some were visible, made out of wood and stone. Some were invisible in the heart that could not be seen by others. But there were idols nonetheless that took us away from God. And today we're still placing idols in front of Him, putting careers in front of God, putting finances in front of God, putting human friendships in front of God. We're sinning. And some of those sins we enjoy, others we're repelled by. And truth is, we have been faithless throughout the years as nations, as individuals. But one has always remained faithful. One has loved us when no one else could, when we couldn't even love ourselves. Hosea was asked to marry a prostitute. Why? Because in some strange way, it revealed to him the pain of love. That when he was loving, she could still remain faithless. No fidelity. How much it must have hurt. But he still loved. How much it must hurt God when he sees the faithlessness of generations of people, but he still loves us. Harvest time is about that annual replenishment of the earth. But what about your heart? Is it replenished? Or is it barren and empty, the hole, the abyss, staring at it and not being nourished by a life that is being eroded by disobedience? But even in your faithlessness, God loves you. He cares for you. You're important to Him. He's given a son for you. That's what made it good news for Paul. That regardless of his own wanderings and weaknesses, that Christ still loved him. He had stood at the brutal murder of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. He had stood there. He said, he preaches about Jesus. Let him die. One less heretic. One less Christian to worry about. He said, give me a letter. I want to make sure that these Christians are put to death, imprisoned. He got a special license. Had to get it written out for him. I want to operate outside my jurisdiction. I want to go after these people. And he had the intellectual ability to do it. He probably had a few friends in high places. He had come from a rich town called Tarsus. He was a Roman citizen. He had everything going for him. He could work the network. He would make sure that they pay the penalty and the price for teaching this gospel about Jesus. Until he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. And Jesus said to him, Paul, or Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he met Jesus. A faithless Paul, meaning a faithful God. What about the faithless you and me, meeting God today, who's been ever faithful and always will? And so faithfulness means that there is forgiveness. Faithfulness of God also means there is security. If you want to turn to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. But the Lord is faithful, he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Don't you always feel good when friends are there to protect you? When they give you strength. Most of us go through wobbles in life. We go through times when life has been particularly hard. There are times when perhaps we struggle with our own human strength. And our closest friends know what's happening. Those who are distant, those in the world outside, those in the workplace might not know what's going on in our hearts, but true friends do. And the beauty about having a true friend is you can be vulnerable. You can let the guard down and you can let them in and you can let them see. And the great comfort and security for you is knowing that they haven't abandoned you as a result of that. And there are times that you feel significantly weak and they come along with encouragement. And they keep your chin up when you cannot lift it yourself. And every so often, we love to feel protected by people, don't we? I mean, it's almost a childhood thing that comes about. We love to feel protected by a mama, dad, or grandparents, people who are older. And even as small children in primary school, if we have older brothers and sisters, we boast about it. My brother's bigger than your brother. Why? Because we think that because he is, that he can protect us against those who are bigger than us. Most of us want that sense of security and protection. To be loved in spite of our weaknesses, to be protected in spite of our vulnerabilities. Well, here's the good news of the gospel. God is not only faithful in that he will forgive you for your sins, but he will come close to you as a friend in a way that no other individual can. Because he's not shocked by your behavior, even though he does not endorse it. You cannot let him in and him discover something about you that he never knew. He knows you better than you know yourself. He created you. And he also created the person who rebelled against him and who broke you. And one day he will pay the price for that. Satan himself will be dispelled forever. But until such times, God says, I will be your strength and I will be your protector from the evil one. And so no matter what happens to you, the comfort of this is knowing that if Jesus becomes your friend, not only will he forgive you for your sins, but he'll accompany you in life as close and closer than anyone you have known before. And he'll still continue to love you, and he'll still continue to provide for you, and he will protect you from the evil one. He has stated it, and he does not lie. No matter what happens to you, the devil will not be victorious in your life. The great thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy does not have permission to do it to you if you're in fellowship with him. No matter what comes, no matter how hard it may appear, no matter how difficult it might be, no matter how tempting the devil will become and saying, look at the hole and not at the donut. Look at what's missing. And you, in great love towards God, will say no, because I am prepared to look at what I have, what I've been given, and what I have been promised. And that's the difference. You see, it might look like a big gaping hole now, Satan, but you should see the donut when it's finished. You should see what's been prepared for those that love him. Now that's a feast worth waiting for. The hole exists. I see it, but I'm not going to concentrate on it. I'm not going to get lost in that hole. I'm going to be grateful for what I've been given in the present, but boy, I'm waiting for the promise that will soon emerge. When that donut that he has created, which no one can even begin to imagine, is so attractive, so appealing, so nourishing. That moment, when I feast with God, I will realize what I have been promised and not just what I have been given. But until such times, and even though God knows life is going to throw its cruelties at us, he says, I will protect you and I will provide strength for you. And it's an option that we possess. Do we have the courage to look at the hole in our own strength? Because the hole exists. It cannot be denied. It cannot be ignored. It exists. And it's a brittle hole sometimes. But is it going to be the likes of a black hole that absorbs us and sucks us in? Or are we going to stand adrift from it and say, I can stare at this, or I can focus on what God has promised and given already? Strength for the journey. Protection at its worst. And so God is faithful in his forgiveness. He's faithful in his friendship and in the security of the officers. But finally, with faithfulness comes responsibility. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, you don't need to turn to it, says this: let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We've a responsibility to hold on to this truth. But we have also a responsibility to be eternally grateful for every provision that he has made. Again, you don't need to turn to it, but I'm going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 26. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. With great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders, he brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. And place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. And you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. When you've finished setting aside a tenth of all that you produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. Then say to the Lord your God, I have removed from my house the sacred portion and given it to the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all you commanded. I have not turned aside from your commands, nor I have forgotten any of them. I have not eaten any of the sacred portion while I was in mourning, nor have I removed it while I was unclean, nor have I offered any of it to the dead. I have obeyed the Lord my God. I have done everything you've commanded me. Look down from heaven, your holy dwelling place, and bless your people Israel and the land you have given us, as you promised an oath to our forefathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. Has God been faithful to you? Has he blessed you? Has he really? If he has, bless others. That's the joy. Having the opportunity to let go of what we have and let others have it is an act of true friendship. If God has been faithful, we must be faithful to God. If we are being faithful to God, we will be faithful to others. We will provide. If God is love, so are we. If God is generous, so are we. If God is kind and giving and forgiving, so are we. And this is what the writer was saying. When you finish setting aside a tenth of all you produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. It's a joy. It's a joy to be blessed. But blessing that is to be enjoyed is not to be kept, for it can no longer be enjoyed. It is simply robbery. God blesses us to bless others. And what a joy there is when we have opportunity to do that. Wouldn't it be wonderful to go through life and end up with very little? Now that's a counterculture, but it's called the church. Wouldn't it be wonderful to reach the end of it and say, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. I give it away. It was painless, because it wasn't mine in the first place. What became painful was when I tried to hang on to it and hold it and not let it go. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be so inspired by the grace and mercy and love of this Almighty God that the poor people don't have to be poor? Do you know, sometimes the critics of Christianity really, really upset me. Because we're all arrogant if we're still rich, even in the developed world. When they try to blame God for the suffering of the poor, God didn't make that happen. We did. Our political structures, our systems, our innate selfishness. The reason why so many still suffer is because we put them through it. God doesn't bring about acts of evil. Human beings do. What God puts in our hearts is love. When we refuse to give, we're not being loving. Therefore, harvest is about God's faithfulness so that we can be faithful to the poor, the orphan, the widow, the fatherless, the grieving, the hurting, the marred, the maimed, the broken, the destroyed. So that in love we can reach out. So that in love we can sit and watch videos of people who have found not only freedom from all the pain and misery caused by you and I, but the greatest freedom of all, a relationship with Jesus. What a beautiful gospel this is, because it cares for us, mind, body, and soul. What a beautiful, beautiful gospel. Only when your news becomes someone else's good news. Let's pray. Father, in these moments, may your Holy Spirit still continue to speak and minister into our lives. In Jesus' name.